Hebrews 11:29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance and the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Becky, for reading. The sermon will have three parts: sin, salvation, and service. And of course, the topic is faith, but more specifically, enduring faith, or faith that perseveres. Now, some of the toughest competitions in the Olympics end in on. The marathon, the triathlon, the decathlon, the heptathlon. You ever heard of that one, the heptathlon? The heptathlon is for women in track and field. It's 7 events over a 2-day period. And on day 1, the ladies compete in the high jump and the hurdles, the shot put in the 200-meter dash, and then the next day they wake up and do the long jump, the javelin throw, and the 800-meter run. There's no doubt that a great deal of endurance is required for the heptathlon. The best American heptathlete is named Anna Hall. Last summer at the Paris Olympics, she finished 5th place. Now, I'm sure Anna was disappointed because she wanted to be in the top 3 to get either a gold, a silver, or a bronze, but she came oh so close. Now, this year, she's doing much better and she's ranked number 1 in the world. One of Anna Hall's strengths is the final event, the 800-meter run. And you can imagine after doing all those events that they must be really, really tired. But when Anna runs the 800, she goes out like a flash and does her first lap in under a minute and then comes back with a second lap and it's just over 2 minutes time. She doesn't slow down much at all. Her competitors are in her wake. She knows that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. For her and other racers, reaching the finish line takes endurance. And people of God, it takes endurance for the Christian life, doesn't it? However, sometimes we encounter obstacles, both on the inside and the outside, that slow us down. The author of Hebrews writes this letter to encourage the early church to have some endurance. He doesn't want them to become discouraged, to grow weary and lose heart. Fred Craddock identifies the problem. This community was a faith community in crisis. They were a church in crisis. And he asks, what is the root cause of their crisis? He reflects on two contributing factors. The first is internal. The delay of the final return of Christ may have had a demoralizing effect on the church. The second is on the outside. There's no doubt that the letter recipients had been under extreme external pressure. Some of them had been put in prison. Others suffered the confiscation of their property, meaning their property was taken away. However, they had not yet shed blood for their faith. But the writer does use these words: persecution, hostility, torture. It wasn't easy being a Christian in those early days of the church, but Jesus gave them this word of blessing. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Raymond Brown provides an interesting perspective about the situation of the early church. This magnificent letter to the Hebrews was written to a group of believers who were in danger of giving up. Did you hear that? They were in danger of giving up. It is clear from even a casual reading of the letter that times were really hard for Jewish Christians in those days. Many of them had been exposed to fierce persecution. They had been assaulted physically. Their homes had been plundered. Some had been cast into prison on account of their faith. Others were ridiculed in public because of their resolute trust in Jesus, their Lord and Savior. Many of these Jewish Christians had accepted all this adversity joyfully, but others had shrunk back from their early allegiance to Christ and become apostates. Without going that far, others were in danger of compromise. The author of Hebrews says to them, when you face adversity, don't give up. Keep the faith. It wasn't easy being a Christian in those days. And you know what? It isn't easy being a Christian in our day either. Sometimes we feel like giving up. Sometimes someone needs to say to us, keep the faith. Don't compromise. In today's world, Christians are persecuted around the world for their faith. But here in the U.S., we have freedom of religion. Still, it doesn't mean we're not tempted to fall away by living like sinners instead of saints. We're tempted to live for ourselves instead of living for God. We're tempted to live a life of greed instead of generosity. We're tempted to hold grudges instead of giving the gift of forgiveness. We're tempted to seek unending entertainment instead of using our time to serve others with reckless abandon. Could it be that we're a self-absorbed generation focused on the man in the mirror instead of focusing our faith on Christ and his cross? The author of Hebrews urges us to throw off everything that hinders us and throw off the sin that so easily tangles us up, and let us run with perseverance the race before us. Do you know what? The extra weight and burden of our sin can slow us down. It can compromise our Christianity. Think about Anna Hall, the heptathlete. She wouldn't sprint quite as quickly if she was wearing a heavy sweatsuit and a hooded sweatshirt, would she? Before she races, she removes those clothing so she can travel light and fast. Having the burden of sin would be like Anna putting ankle weights on while trying to go over the bar of the high jump. Sin weighs us down. It's a hindrance. How can we overcome this burdensome obstacle? We sure don't want to grow weary and lose heart, do we? Now is not the time to give up or quit. We need to keep going. We must keep moving forward. How can we possess an enduring faith? And where can we go for some encouragement? Where do we go? We go to Jesus. He's the one who gives us encouragement. He's the one who brings us salvation. I'm sure you know this, but the word salvation is embedded in Jesus' name. Jesus literally means the Lord saves. Or in another translation, Jesus means the Lord is salvation. Isn't that beautiful? Salvation is embedded right in his name. Jesus gives us an invitation. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The invitation has been extended. Are you tired and ready to give up? Go to Jesus. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the burdens of life? Go to Jesus. Are you weighed down by the guilt of your sin? Go to Jesus. He is the Savior who forgives your sin. He lightens your load so that you can be released to run the Christian race feeling fast and free. The key is to focus on Jesus. The author of Hebrews encourages anyone willing to listen to fix their eyes on Jesus, both the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The throne of God was Jesus' finish line, but it wasn't easy to get there because the road to the finish line went through the cross of Calvary. And on Good Friday, Jesus faced painful adversity like the world had never seen. He had to first push through all the pain, demonstrating perseverance in the face of adversity. Think of the hardships Jesus had to endure in his final days. The crown of thorns, the whip on his back, carrying the heavy cross, the painful nail in his hands and feet, the sword piercing his side, the mockery, the abuse, the rejection. Now, when preparing to write this sermon, Rose and I often go to a commentary called Feasting on the Word. One of its authors is Marion Swords, and Marion fixes our faith focus on Jesus. He says this, having examined the standard of faith as it was exemplified by paragons of the past, the author of Hebrews moves on to consider the ultimate embodiment of faith, Jesus. Jesus suffered greatly, yet he did not lose sight of the joy set before him. You know, Jesus is not only our Savior, but he's also our role model. He's the one who inspires us. He's the one who leads the way. He's the one who gives us a prime example of what faith really looks like. The NIV calls Jesus the pioneer and perfecter of faith. But another translation, the New Living Translation of the Bible, calls Jesus the champion. Do you like that? Jesus is our champion. He's the champ. He's the number one. He's the gold medal winner. He's the one that we're following. We're chasing him around the track. This is what the New Living Translation says. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Here's that word, the champion. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that awaited him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility Jesus endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Do you hear the repeated emphasis of enduring and endurance? People of God, don't give up. Instead, focus on Jesus. He's the champion of the Christian race. He's the great overcomer. He's the one that gives strength to our faith. He motivates us to follow in his big footsteps by running the race all the way to completion. Now, there are other men and women who have already run the race to completion. the author of Hebrews calls them a great cloud of witnesses. Imagine a huge crowd at an international track and field competition, cheering on the athletes. But in this case, they're not just fanatics, they're not just fans, they're not just spectators, they're seasoned veterans of athletic competition. Earlier, I mentioned the heptathlete, Anna Hall. In early August, when Anna finished her heptathlon, she became the champion of the entire country, the gold medal for the United States. And one of the first people to congratulate her was the past champion, Jackie Joyner Kersee. You ever heard that name? Jackie Joyner Kersee? She was a rock star track athlete back in the day. In fact, she won the gold medal in 1988 at the Seoul Olympic Games. And then she defended her title in 1992 in Barcelona, Spain. Jackie was there as the past champion to greet Anna and congratulate her and say, job well done. And the saints that have gone before have already finished the race. And when you finish your race, they'll be right there with you saying, job well done. Congratulations. You have kept the faith. You have finished the race. That's what the cloud of witnesses is all about. They're the saints who have gone before that are cheering you on. Imagine being surrounded by this huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Thousands, even millions. The stadium contains a massive crowd of cheering spectators, but they're all seasoned veterans of the Christian race. They're the saints who have gone before. They've fought the fight. They've run the race. They've completed their mission here on earth. And now they're cheering you on. And they're ready to greet you and congratulate you when you reach the finish line of the Christian race. The author of Hebrews emphasized that they lived their lives by faith. I think he repeats it 22 times. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith Adam, by faith Abraham, by faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Joseph, by faith Samson, Gideon, David, Samuel, all these heroes of the faith that have gone before. And more. I think when Becky read it, she said, I don't have time to discuss all these people. That's actually in the Bible. He could go on and on forever, but he's saying there's so many there in the Old Testament that walk by faith. We don't have enough hours in the day to go through it. Our service would be 10, 12 hours long instead of one. Every single one of them lived by faith. They encountered adversity, but they did not give up. Examples of faithful living, they became overcomers with God's help. And the author of Hebrews uses them as inspiration for the early church. What he does is say, look at them, look at their lives, and use them as role models, as examples for you. They live by faith, now you do the same. Be a person of enduring faith, just like them. Don't give up when difficulties come your way. Yet, those faithful followers of God in years past did not have the same advantages that we enjoy. While they could only look forward to the coming of Christ, we gaze back. For Christ has already come. Amen? Amen. So at the end of chapter 11, we read, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better. I love that phrase, something better, because it reminds me that the something better is not just a what, it's a who. Something better is someone better. And what was planned is who was sent, Jesus. They looked forward to the coming of Jesus. He's something better. He's someone better. For Father God sent his son to deliver the people. His name is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, Jesus, gives us the strength to have an enduring faith. Jesus empowers us to have a faith marked by its endurance. We refuse to quit when difficulties come our way. Jesus fills us completely with His Spirit, and the Spirit of Christ enables us to have a faith that perseveres. For we know that when the going gets tough, the tough get going with God's help. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, let's pray.